This morning on WCHL, police identify the cyclist who died last Friday after being hit by a vehicle. The Carrboro Police Department's community forum spent most of its time discussing racial profiling last night as national conversations continue after the killing of an unarmed black man in Ferguson, Missouri 2 months ago.
Let the guns rust. You don't need it.
And the U.S. Supreme Court's indecision on same-sex marriage in Virginia leaves the door wide open for more marriage bans to fall.
While marriage is not available on this day, at this hour, here in North Carolina for same-sex couples, it could happen as early as this week. Certainly, there could be same-sex weddings on Halloween, I think, here in North Carolina.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill, Carrboro traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC football team is staring at its toughest challenge yet this season at Notre Dame. And
Russell Wilson continues to revolutionize the pro football game.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 55 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly cloudy today. There's a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon. Our high temperature today in the upper 70s, so sort of a mild day. And actually, it feels really good out there this morning. Chapel Hill police have announced the identity of the cyclist who was killed in a vehicle collision last Friday, Pamela Lane, 57, of Durham. The incident took place at 9:39 on Friday morning near the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Hillsborough Street. Lane was riding her bike on the sidewalk of MLK when she was struck by a vehicle that was exiting the parking lot of a gas station near that intersection. Lane was transported to the emergency room at UNC hospitals but died later from her injuries. Chapel Hill police are still investigating the accident. No charges have been filed so far. A community forum with Carrboro Police Chief Walter Horton was originally planned as a response to public concerns about military tactics, weapons, and gear used by law officers nationwide, similar to the forum that the Chapel Hill Police Department held on Saturday. But much of last night's two-hour conversation at Town Hall in Carrboro turned out to be about racial profiling, as WCHL's Danny Hooley reports.
The idea for this community conversation about policing came out of the events in Ferguson earlier this year, and specifically actually questions about militarization. While that might be discussed somewhat tonight, we decided that it was time for a community conversation just about community policing in general.
That's Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle addressing a packed town hall boardroom on Monday night. There were indeed questions from citizens to Carrboro Police Chief Walter Horton about the town's participation in the 1033 program of the U.S. Department of Defense, the conduct of Ferguson, Missouri police, and the combat gear they used to deal with protesters after a policeman shot and killed Michael Brown on August 9th, shone a national spotlight on the program, which supplies military surplus items to local law enforcement agencies. Here's Horton responding to a question about that.
We are members of that program, but we haven't actively participated in several years.
He added that his department buys its own weapons, the same kind of weapons any citizen could purchase at Walmart. In reality, he said, the 39 sworn officers of the department are outgunned. Horton said the department was forced to reevaluate its weapons policy after 26-year-old UNC law student Wendell Williamson randomly opened fire with an M1 rifle along Henderson Street in Chapel Hill on January 26, 1995, killing two people and wounding a few others. Horton, a patrol officer at the time, was in court in Chapel Hill that day, and he was one of the officers that returned fire on Williamson and brought him down. Before that incident, he said, rifles at the Carrboro Police Department had been locked up for so long they had started to rust. After that day, they were pulled out of storage. But Carrboro resident Corey Edwards said he did not see the need for rifles, nor the protective jackets and shields displayed by police officers at the forum. When police are armed like that, he asked, what is to prevent another Ferguson happening in Carrboro?
This town doesn't need that. It doesn't need that. You said the guns are rusted. Let the guns rust. You don't need it.
Edwards also related a story of his wife being pulled over on Rogers Road while he was in the passenger seat, an experience that felt like racial profiling to him. He wasn't the only person in the room to raise the issue, and Horton took some exception.
We don't racial profile. To be honest with you, I kind of feel offended by that because being the first black chief, again, I know how it is to grow up being a black male here. I've been walking and have people cross the street. I've been in other places and looked at funny by the police. I know how that feels. So I would not let that go on here.
Alderperson Michelle Johnson said she realized Horton was in a tough spot, but added that a conversation about racial profiling when it comes to traffic stops and other interactions with police needed to take place.
I don't know if you feel like you're in the position of having to answer for everyone's behavior in your department. You probably do feel like that. And I feel like the conversation might shift if we just, racism is present. Carrboro is no different than any other place.
James Williams, a public defender for Orange and Chatham counties and a Carrboro resident for 24 years, agreed.
This whole concept of structural racism, implicit bias, unconscious racism, sometimes affects our decision making, even when we are not aware of it. We need to get away from this concern that somebody is suggesting that someone is racist.
Williams then summarized data regarding police stops and interactions with citizens in Carrboro between 2004 and 2013. Williams said the data showed that African Americans that got stopped were 233% more likely to be searched in Carrboro. Despite some tough topics, the conversation never got heated, and citizens thanked Horton several times for being there, as well as for the good work police do in the community. Local activist Manju Rajendran and others suggested that citizen boards be allowed more oversight over police.
Rather than us shaping our agreements around faith and trust towards folks in your position, I'd like us to move towards a set of policies that reflect what we've heard in this room.
A few citizens said they'd like to see police wearing body cameras. Horton said the department would like that, but right now they're cost prohibitive. The department recently started using car cameras. You can find this story at our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Yesterday was a big day for same-sex marriage advocates. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to take action, at least not right now, on the same-sex marriage issue. But that decision actually has major ramifications nationwide and right here in North Carolina. What the court did yesterday was decline to review five lower court rulings on same-sex marriage, which effectively means those rulings are allowed to stand. And each of those rulings struck down a ban on gay marriage. So by not acting on Monday, the court effectively legalized same-sex marriage in five different states at once. Those states are Utah, Oklahoma, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Virginia. Now, the Virginia ruling came down from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and North Carolina is in that jurisdiction, which means the Virginia ruling applies to North Carolina as well. There needs to be another court ruling to make it official, but based on the Fourth Circuit's ruling, our ban on same-sex marriage in North Carolina will be struck down, and same-sex marriage will be legal and recognized perhaps even in a matter of days. Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt is a constitutional attorney, and he's been a national advocate for same-sex marriage for years. He spoke with WCHL's Aaron Keck on Monday afternoon.
I was as shocked as any Supreme Court watcher was. But, you know, in hindsight, I think, you know, those of us who were paying attention to some of the conversations that members of the court were having during their summer off, particularly Justice Ginsburg, we got a signal from her earlier this summer that, well, maybe the court won't take cert on these, and they will pass, and they'll look for and wait for a decision that upholds a marriage ban. But I don't think many of us thought that that was actually going to be what happened.
That is Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt speaking with Aaron Keck. There's a long conversation that you can hear on our website, chapelboro.com. Yesterday, the ACLU of North Carolina filed a request seeking an immediate ruling from Chief U.S. District Judge William Osteen in Greensboro that would officially overturn the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Orange County commissioners will consider spending $1.5 million to upgrade the 911 emergency response system when the board meets tonight. County officials say it's time to update the 911 phone system to accept texts, pictures, and videos from callers and emergency responders. The next generation N911 solution, as it's being called, will cost Orange County $22,000 to install and nearly $26,000 in recurring expenses for a total of $1.5 million over the next 5 years. While the monthly rate is significantly more than the county has been paying with its current provider, county staffers say the current provider is not able to offer these new services. Some of the money for the new system will come from the state's emergency telephone fund. The board will also consider moving forward with plans to expand the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Now that the Chapel Hill Town Council has approved a special use permit for that site, the Board of County Commissioners will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Whitted Meeting Room at 300 West Tryon Street in Hillsboro. The UNC football scandal has been going on since 2010. We have a story coming up about the famous tweet from former Tar Heel player Marvin Austin and how that has eventually led to what's happening now when it comes to social media. That is on the way next on WCHL, WCHL News Time 716. Time now for traffic and weather together. We'll start with traffic, and here's Rand.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still a pretty good day to start things off here this Tuesday morning as traffic is moving smoothly. You might see some taillights on Raleigh Road heading westbound right now between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road. Just minor to moderate delays there, nothing major. The usual slowdowns throughout the rest of the traveling area. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Well, thanks so much.
You bet.
We'll talk to you again in just a little while here.
That sounds good.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover weather brought to you this morning by Four Corners. And it is 53 degrees right now. It's actually dipped a couple of degrees in the last hour or so. 53 degrees, rather cool, mostly cloudy today. 20% chance of showers. Our high today, about 78 degrees. Tonight, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, 30% chance of showers. And the low tonight in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny, a little warmer, with high in the low 80s, but not to worry. The high temperature the following day on Thursday will be back down in the upper 70s. And in fact, we have a cool week all week. Not bad weather, though. Love it. Four Corners is home of the $6 lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. The Lunch Club and your sixth lunch is free at Four Corners.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time, 718. The UNC football scandal has been ongoing since 2010 when NCAA investigators first arrived on the campus in Chapel Hill, alerted in part by a tweet about an extravagant night out from former Tar Heel Marvin Austin. Now, UNC, like many universities, has a social media policy for student-athletes. Head Sports Information Director Steve Kirstner says it's designed to teach athletes responsible social media practices without placing undue limits on their freedom of expression.
The university encourages our kids to participate in social media. We do promote free speech. I think from a university standpoint, we want to promote the university. We want these kids to be able to promote themselves, the good things about college life, but we also want them to do it in a responsible manner.
But while UNC is certainly not alone in regulating social media activity, some legal scholars say the policy raises questions about student-athletes' First Amendment rights. Carolina Connection's Andrew Stern reports.
In order to ensure that athletes are following the social media policy, the athletic department has at least one person per team who monitors every athlete's social media accounts. The school also employs Varsity Monitor, a third-party company, to help. Kirshner describes some of the things that the current policy prohibits.
Offensive language, criticizing officials, criticizing the opponents or teammates, just typical good standards.
If a post violates these good standards, coaches can order athletes to remove it or face punishment as severe as losing their scholarships. In some cases, good standards aren't spelled out in writing, and many situations are open to the athletic department's discretion.
It's sort of sometimes you know it when you see it kind of thing.
UNC media law professor Tori Ekstrand sees some potential legal issues for a policy that leaves so much up to interpretation.
I think the thing that I look at and some of my colleagues look at as being a little problematic are phrases like they're not going to tolerate disrespectful comments. And then there's no definition of what that is. So how can athletes reasonably control their social media presence without a definition of what the university thinks is disrespectful?
Ekstrom says the policy leaves out some other considerations too.
If the student didn't agree with the coach's decision or the monitoring of a social media comment, could the athlete reasonably appeal that decision?
While First Amendment scholars might question the legality of UNC's current policy, athletes like football player Tim Scott say the policy is for his own good.
I actually say that they're helping us, you know, because after all this is over, you're going to have to get a job. And nowadays, jobs look at what you put on social media. So they're actually helping us for the long run.
Track and field athlete Houston Summers, a representative on the Student Athlete Advisory Council, says the policy is for more than just protecting future job prospects.
I think the university has some stock in understanding that they have a brand They have an image to uphold. And as part of that, they also hold the student athlete responsible for what they put out. So they want to raise awareness that we need to be sensitive to the things that we put out and the things that we post, because not only do they represent ourselves and our family, they represent the university.
Social media issues are nothing new at UNC. The entire athletic academic scandal began with the football player's tweet. In the wake of that, the NCAA reprimanded UNC for not being vigilant enough in monitoring its athletes' social media accounts. Now, for most athletes, social media censorship is simply a reality if they want to compete for UNC.
That was Andrew Stern reporting for Carolina Connection, the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Carolina Connection airs on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year. A judge is holding a hearing to find out how North Carolina will comply with an appeals court ruling that restores same-day registration and counting out of precinct ballots for the fall election. U.S. District Court Judge Thomas Schroeder's hearing today comes days after he issued a preliminary injunction to comply with a ruling by the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, a decision cheered by civil rights groups that sued over a 2013 elections law backed by North Carolina's Republican leaders last summer, of course. The injunction means both provisions have been set aside, at least for now. State attorneys asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene so the provisions can be implemented. Opponents of the law are urging the high court to block parts they say could discourage minorities from casting ballots. WCHL News Time, 7:22. Time for championship sports. Head coach Larry Fedora leads a Carolina football team that has earned the dubious distinction of being one of the most penalized teams in the Atlantic Coast Conference and, in turn, the country. But Coach Fedora says mistakes are correctable with a road trip at number 6 Notre Dame looming. It's not going to be easy this weekend. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
It's an old cliche, but it's never a good sign to hear coaches reference the shooting ourselves in the foot saying. On Monday, Coach Fedora went to the well one more time when discussing the myriad mistakes committed by the UNC offense in Saturday's 34-17 home loss to Virginia Tech.
You name it. I mean, whether it was a guy flinching, guy jumping off sides, missed assignment here. I mean, again, it would be easy if it was just one guy, you know, we could replace one guy, but that's not the way it is. We take turns shooting ourselves in the foot right now. The good thing is that everything that's sitting there is correctable. We just got to get it corrected.
With back-to-back games against two of the remaining 10 undefeated teams in the FBS, the Tar Heels had better get the sloppiness out of them sooner rather than later. Coach Fedora says for right now, his players are battling within themselves. He says until the mistakes are corrected, the Tar Heels have more pressing issues to worry about than their next opponent.
Focus yesterday for us was, going back and, you know, breaking down the film and looking at all the mistakes that we made and seeing that we look like a team that if we could get our mistakes corrected, if we could do if we could take care of the things within our team right now, then we could be a decent football team. But until we do that, it's going to be tough.
With that said, the Carolina skipper recognizes the huge opportunity afforded to UNC this weekend. Coach Fedora says playing at Notre Dame in front of a national TV audience is exciting.
A tremendous opportunity ahead of us this week. We get a chance to go to Notre Dame, number 5 team in the country, and play on national TV. So it's exciting, should be a lot of fun.
Snagging the program's first top 10 victory since a 31-28 win over number 4 Miami in 2004 would make the trip all the more fun. But with 3 straight defeats, it's easy to question the confidence level in the UNC locker room. Coach Fedora, though, insists his players maintain belief.
I would say fine, but I'm not a guy that wavers up and down on my confidence based on one game. I mean, I don't know how you do that. I mean, there's frustration involved, but I don't think there's a lack of confidence in what we do or how we do things.
The UNC defense appears to have steadily improved with far better tackling and energy since the debacle at ECU a few weeks ago. Coach Fedora agrees with that assessment.
I think they've taken the challenge. They're doing a better job of maintaining their gaps and not trying to do too much. Just stay in your gap, do what you're supposed to do, and know that somebody else is going to be in the other gap. And so I think they're doing a much better job of that. If you watch when the ball's thrown, we're getting pressure on the quarterback. And they're also doing a good job of getting, and retracing and get back down the field.
Coach Fedora, who will be making his first trip to Notre Dame, was asked if he'd let the team soak in the rich tradition and history at South Bend this weekend. He says there won't be time for sightseeing and offered a more attractive alternative.
Well, we really, we don't get that opportunity. I mean, we're an hour away from where, we go in there and you're there a couple hours before the game and leave after the game. So there's not a whole lot of time for soaking up anything. So I'd rather go in there and try to make some.
Matt Oaks, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
The Seattle Seahawks of the NFL managed to overcome several costly penalties last night, earning a 27-17 victory over Washington last night on the road. Seahawks were called for 13 penalties, including three that wiped out touchdowns by Percy Harvin. Imagine how disappointed he is this morning. The flags didn't stop Russell Wilson, Seattle's quarterback, from having one of the most impressive performances of his NFL career. Wilson rushed for a career high 122 yards, including a 9-yard touchdown that put Seattle ahead 17-0 in the first half. He also completed 18 of 24 passes for 201 yards and two more scores as the defending Super Bowl champs improved to 3-1. Seattle is an NFL best 21-8 on Monday nights, including 9 consecutive wins and an 11-1 mark on Monday nights under Coach Pete Carroll. Washington fell to 1-4 on the season, and Art has more on Russell Wilson coming up. I'm Rod Stutz. It's 727 at WCHL.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Russell Wilson continues to revolutionize the pro football game. This is Archansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. The Seattle Seahawks have shown some flaws this season, having already lost once and making enough mistakes to keep their victories close. But the defending Super Bowl champions remain the favorite because of Russell Wilson, the quarterback who continues doing the impossible in the NFL. Watching Wilson play against the Redskins Monday night, you see the most versatile and daring quarterback in the game. And while other mobile QBs, such as the injured Robert Griffin III, keep the old axiom going that the pocket is the safest place, Wilson brazenly takes his game all over the field. He was the leading rusher for the Seahawks in their 27-17 win at Washington, running 11 times for 122 yards. That's an 11-yard average as Wilson takes off through the middle, scrambles out of trouble, and then keeps the ball on the option read that combines the best of college and pro football. Because of his sub-6-foot size, the Seahawks have created an offense that allows Wilson to see downfield better by moving him around. Yet he never seems to be in danger, sliding safely at the end of long runs and just being so elusive that he rarely takes a direct hit. Against the Redskins, besides setting the Monday Night Football record for rushing yards as a quarterback, Wilson also completed 18 of 24 passes for 2 touchdowns and no interceptions. The former NC State star is razor accurate from the pocket, or as a rollout wizard throwing amazing touch passes while moving at full speed. Many of his throws were dink and donk tosses while escaping tacklers, as his average pass completion was 3 yards less than his average run. His 323 yards of total offense makes Wilson seem like a one-man team. But Seattle has so many more weapons that they could become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champs since the Patriots 10 years ago. They would be a very good team without the wondrous Wilson, but the whiz kid from Richmond makes them extraordinary to watch and very, very tough to beat on the road to another Super Bowl. This is Archansky. See ya.
One great team joins another. The team at Harrington Bank is now part of the Bank of North Carolina family. Harrington Bank customers will continue to see familiar faces along with some new ones, along with more products and services. At Bank of North Carolina, we are operating from a position of strength and stability. We work with individuals, businesses, and professional clients. We invite you to visit us at our Chapel Hill locations or at any of our other banking offices throughout the Carolinas. If your bank is not delivering more than you expect, we need to talk. Member FDIC.
A 2013 independent survey conducted by Home Care Pulse ranked HomeWatch caregivers of the Triangle significantly higher than the industry standard in compassion, knowledge, reliability, flexibility, and overall quality of service. For 10 years, HomeWatch Caregivers has helped over 2,000 families in our community, providing hourly and 24-hour personal care to people of all ages with all types of needs. Visit us online at homewatchcaregivers.com or give us a call, 919-960-6038. HomeWatch Caregivers, let our family care for yours.
Today's offer at our local deal is from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. It's 72% off a winter heating checkup available today for only $39, normally $140 value. Carolina Air Conditioning Company has been in the HVAC business since 1947. With today's deal, the certified specialist from Carolina Air will provide you with a 5-star, 26-point heating and air conditioning checkup to ensure you're ready for the chilly temperatures ahead. It's over half off from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. And it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
55 degrees this morning. Look for a high today of about 78 degrees. 20% chance of rain. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL. And you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
Spain, who's got Ebola, she contracted the virus after being part of a team treating two infected missionaries who came from Liberia. Dr. Mark Spranger, director of the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control.
When she develops her symptoms, then it's extremely important that we do contact tracing. That's the same what's happening in Dallas.
Several people in Dallas are being tracked, their temperatures being taken twice a day to see if they've become infected with Ebola. They had contact with Thomas Duncan, correspondent Manuel Bajorquez.
The latest from the hospital is that his condition continues to be critical. Yesterday, they did add critical but stable. They also said that doctors have been trying an experimental drug on Duncan since Saturday.
That drug is called
brincidofovir. It's a drug that is taken by mouth and has been used before to fight smallpox and adenovirus, but this will be the first test against Ebola in humans.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 54 degrees in Chapel Hill, and a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. High today in the upper 70s. Dave Barrett, I feel for you, brother. Hope your throat clears up. Chapel Hill police have announced the identity of the cyclist who was killed in a vehicle last Friday, Pamela Lane, 57, of Durham. The accident took place at 9:39 a.m. on Friday near the intersection of MLK and Hillsborough Street. Lane was riding her bike on the sidewalk of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard when she was struck by a vehicle that was exiting the parking lot of a gas station near that intersection. Lane was transported to the emergency room at UNC Hospitals but died later of her injury. Chapel Hill police are still investigating the accident. No charges have been filed so far. A community forum last night with Carborough Police Chief Walter Horton was originally planned as a response to public concerns about military tactics, weapons, and gear used by law officers across the country. But much of last night's two-hour conversation at Town Hall was about racial profiling, as WCHL's Danny Hooley reports.
The idea for this community conversation about policing came out of the events in Ferguson earlier this year, and specifically actually questions about militarization. While that might be discussed somewhat tonight, we decided that it was time for a community conversation just about community policing in general.
That's Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle addressing a packed town hall boardroom on Monday night. There were indeed questions from citizens to Carborough Police Chief Walter Horton about the town's participation in the 1033 program of the U.S. Department of Defense, the conduct of Ferguson, Missouri police and the combat gear they used to deal with protesters after a policeman shot and killed Michael Brown on August 9th, shone a national spotlight on the program, which supplies military surplus items to local law enforcement agencies. Here's Horton responding to a question about that.
We are members of that program, but we haven't actively participated in several years.
He added that his department buys its own weapons, the same kind of weapons any citizen could purchase at Walmart. In reality, he said, the 39 sworn officers of the department are outgunned. Horton said the department was forced to reevaluate its weapons policy after 26-year-old UNC law student Wendell Williamson randomly opened fire with an M1 rifle along Henderson Street in Chapel Hill on January 26, 1995, killing two people and wounding a few others. Horton, a patrol officer at the time, was in court in Chapel Hill that day, and he was one of the officers that returned fire on Williamson and brought him down. Before that incident, he said, rifles at the Carborough Police Department had been locked up for so long they had started to rust. After that day, they were pulled out of storage. But Carborough resident Corey Edwards said he did not see the need for rifles, nor the protective jackets and shields displayed by police officers at the forum. When police are armed like that, he asked, what is to prevent another Ferguson happening in Carborough?
This town doesn't need that. It doesn't need that. You said the guns were rusted. Let the guns rust. You don't need it.
Edwards also related a story of his wife being pulled over on Rogers Road while he was in the passenger seat, an experience that felt like racial profiling to him. He wasn't the only person in the room to raise the issue, and Horton took some exception.
We don't racial profile. To be honest with you, I kind of feel offended by that because being the first black chief. Again, I know how it is to grow up being a black male here. I've been walking and have people cross the street. I've been in other places and looked at funny by the police. I know how that feels. So I would not let that go on me.
That is Police Chief Walter Horton of Carrboro. Danny Hooley has more on that story. You can check it out on our website at chapelboro.com. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to take action, at least not right now, on the same-sex marriage issue. But that decision actually has major ramifications nationwide and right here in North Carolina. What the court did yesterday was decline to review five lower court rulings on same-sex marriage, which effectively means those rulings are allowed to stand. And each of those rulings struck down a ban on gay marriage. So by not acting on Monday, the court effectively legalized same-sex marriage in five different states at once, including Virginia. Now, the Virginia ruling came down from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and North Carolina is in that jurisdiction, which means the Virginia ruling applies to North Carolina as well. There needs to be another court ruling to make it official, but based on the Fourth Circuit's ruling yesterday, our ban on same-sex marriage will be struck down, and same-sex marriage will be legal and recognized perhaps even in a matter of days. Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith is a constitutional attorney. He's been a national advocate for same-sex marriage for years. He spoke at length yesterday with WCHL's Aaron Keck. You can hear that hot conversation by going to the story on our website at chapelboro.com. Republicans and Democrats have filed dueling ethics complaints in the hotly contested Senate race between Democratic Senator Kay Hagan and GOP challenger Tom Tillis. The North Carolina Republican Party charged on Monday that Hagan's husband improperly benefited from the 2009 economic stimulus law that Hagan voted to approve. A Democratic group immediately fired back, announcing plans to file a complaint against Tillis for his support of a green energy tax credit program that benefited a bank in which Tillis holds stock. Tillis is Speaker of the North Carolina House, of course. The dueling complaints were filed with the Senate Ethics Committee and the North Carolina State Ethics Commission, respectively. Both candidates have denied wrongdoing. Representatives of the two campaigns call the other's attack a sign of desperation with less than a month to go before Election Day. And President Barack Obama says the government is considering ordering more careful screening of airline passengers arriving from Ebola-plagued West Africa. Obama says we don't have a lot of margin for error. The president has not outlined all the details, but he says the United States will be, quoting here, working on protocols to add to do additional passenger screening both at the source and here in the United States. WCHL News Time, 7:38. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Rand Northam about what's happening at our website, chapelboro.com. Also, Wiley Post is back with another commentary today, and he talks about budgets coming out of Raleigh and the North Carolina General Assembly.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Ready to take your small business to the next level? You are not alone. We are here to help. At the UPS Store, we will turn your busy work into easy work by taking care of all of your packaging, shipping, and fulfillment needs so you can concentrate on what matters most, running your business. To learn more about how we can help you, visit theupsstore.com or stop by the UPS stores in Meadowmont, in Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Hi, I'm Sarah Cooney, owner of the Root Cellar Cafe and Catering. You've noticed this Foster's Market Chapel Hill, but we recently changed our name, and I invite you to come check out our new look. We stayed true to the concepts that made Foster's legendary. Scratch-made food, fresh local ingredients, and a commitment to our local farms and community. We've also added some exciting new menu items. Think of the Root Cellar as an old friend with a new name. Visit us on MLK for delicious food, made right, right here, or at RootCellarChapelHill.com.
This is Mark Vitale, owner of All About Insurance, and I'm here with Teresa Brent, our expert in young drivers insurance.
Thanks, Mark. We are currently offering some of the lowest rates in the state for young drivers. But more importantly, we can ensure that you have the most comprehensive coverage for your son or daughter in case of any tragedy. You can call me, Teresa Brandt, at 919-933-4000 or stop by Nationwide Square at 1289 Fordham Boulevard for a free consultation.
All righty. It is 7:40 at WCHL. Ron Stutz here, and the inimitable Rand Northam has strolled back into the studio today. Kind of a leisurely day back in the newsroom, isn't it?
That it is. That yeah. it is.
We haven't
it's
had
not
anything.
Too bad.
Haven't had anything major happen so far.
Well, no, no potential jumpers.
No.
No anything like
no
that.
No serious traffic problems.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So
that's true.
So far, so good. I probably shouldn't say anything about it because
I know now the rest of the day it's Ron's fault.
Downhill.
Yeah. That's remember, right. though, we're getting close to that time where the sun is a bad problem on I-40 heading eastbound between Apex Highway and Raleigh Road. So be on the lookout if you're traveling that way because it really does slow traffic down around there and your visibility is pretty bad. So if you're getting in your car right now, not a bad idea to maybe put some Windex on that car and get those bugs and the grime that's on there and wipe that off because that'll certainly help you see in that bright, sunny sun.
Well, I know you keep your car clean, but also don't worry about it if you have your sunglasses, your trusty sunglasses all the time.
Yeah. There's a group that did, they were here, I think they did last year's Summer Beach Music Series at University Mall.
Yeah.
They're called, I can't believe I can't remember them. They have a song and an album called Red Sunglasses.
Oh, really?
What were they called?
I don't know. I emceed that concert series, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a real good one. They do a bunch of cover stuff. I mean, it's all covers.
I know what you're talking about. It's like Black and Blue or something like that.
Oh, man. No? I can't believe I can't remember. Anyway,
I can't
put on your red sunglasses this morning.
I got it. It was ZZ Top.
They did a ZZ Top thing?
Cheap sunglasses.
Yep.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding
when I said
that. It was their own song.
But they did a good ZZ Top.
They did a great ZZ Top.
Comedy routine.
Yeah,
it was good.
They're a fun group. I'll have to look them up.
Now, I can't remember the name of the band either. But at any rate, what's happening this morning at our website?
Well, Allison Driscoll, she's our social media coordinator. She has a new column this morning talking about the Triangle Wide Photography Festival, which has roots in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the CLIC Triangle Photography Festival. It's got all kind of galleries, exhibits, events in it. It stretches across the triangle, and she talks about, as she says in her title there, the roots that it has in Chapel Hill. So you want to check that out. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, I got to read Allison's column. I didn't realize she was writing columns.
She's a writer as well.
That's great.
She's controlling and doing a great job of our social media. She has taken all of our social media sites from our Facebook down from two sites down to one. We're WCHL Chapelboro on Facebook. On Twitter, we're the same way. We actually took it from three down to one, from WCHL Sports and WCHL and Chapelboro, all down to WCHL Chapelboro now, which is great.
I also noticed
she's doing a great job.
You called Allison controlling, so you can take that up with her later.
Great. Can't wait to see her this morning. She's going to have something for me to say.
Exactly.
Also, Art's angle is talking just like he did yesterday in his notebook, and he said, sunny but dismal day as this weekend is. Ron, I know you don't know anything about the sun that happened over the weekend as I take a look at your great color in your face.
Let me just say I'm not embarrassed. But between the football game on Saturday and festival on Sunday, I did get quite a lot of sun on my face.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until
after
it's
calming down a bit now. Yesterday it was pretty bright, but you're looking a little more human now. You're looking good.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing you've said to me lately.
Speaking of festival, we do have our festival photo gallery up. Susan Murray made it out to that, and some great photos from that great event. It was a beautiful day for it.
Yeah.
So you'll want to check out those photos. Make sure to visit our calendar page. Lots of great events going on in and around Chapelboro as it's fall right now. Lots of festivals going on, as we've been talking about just this morning alone. But just because it is fall and it's not the summertime with all the great events that are even in more number than usual, there are still lots of great things indoors and outdoors going on in and around Chapelboro. And we'll bring you as many of them as we can. And then also make sure to sign up if you haven't already for the Chapelboro.com College Pick'em because that has been a great event all year long. People really excited about that with lots of great things going on.
Lots of
good games.
You'll find my name down near the bottom
for
the entire season. And my wife actually was finished in second place.
She sure
last
did.
Week.
I know. You're going to have to take a page from her notebook.
I'm going to have to start consulting with her before I make my picks.
You better. Yep. That is all available on our website and much more. It's chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
7:45 and Wiley Post That Wiley Guy has today's commentary coming up next, and that'll be followed by Traffic and Weather Together and Wayne Pond's Word, the clean joke of the day with a surprise joke deliverer this morning.
I think I might know who.
And today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Hello, Eddie.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Cleaver. My, doesn't your home look lovely?
Why, thank you, Eddie. The brokers from Terra Nova were here staging our home.
Staging? Are you putting on a play?
No, Eddie. Staging means getting our home to look its very best. The professionals at Terra Nova sure know what they're doing.
That's neat.
Would you like to stay for dinner, Eddie? We're having roast beef.
No, thank you, Mrs. Cleaver. We're having squab, and I need to tell my folks all about the awesome brokers at Terra Nova.
Online at terranovaglobal.com.
If you've been looking for a different healthcare experience, visit Chapel Hill Primary Care. Built on the promise of prompt, compassionate, and personalized care, Chapel Hill Primary Care provides patient-centered preventative medical care and treatment of acute as well as chronic health conditions for adolescents and adults. Located in the beautiful Chapel Hill Doctors Healthcare Center off Weaver Dairy Road. Offering free parking, first floor access, no facility fees, an on-site lab, and minimal to no wait time. At Chapel Hill Primary Care, patients really do come first. Visit chapelhillprimarycare.com. Immediate appointments available.
Great Outdoor Provision Company reminds you that it's going to take far more than a pumpkin spice latte to keep you warm this winter. Instead, we recommend outerwear from Patagonia, like the men's and women's down sweaters, nano jackets, and Retro X vests, all available in a variety of styles and colors. So while there's plenty of options out there to warm your heart this fall, we're concerned about the warmth of your body. Stop by our Eastgate location today and discover new arrivals from Patagonia, or visit greatoutdoorprovision.com.
All right, 54 degrees, a little cool this morning, 747 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Wiley Post. Are North Carolina tax incentives a new profit motive? Pat McCrory has been handing out millions of taxpayer dollars to draw new businesses to North Carolina and pop staffers. Now, before I get bombarded with all the GOP talking points on how we just can't afford to tax the job creators, please hear me out. Why does business need to include tax cuts to secure quarterly profits? When did businesses start holding states hostage to demand lower taxes, better roads, higher speed internet, utilities, and cheaper labor in a right-to-work state? Could it be that the decline of the middle class over the past 30 years has caused even our biggest businesses to turn away from a consumer-based economy to corporate welfare to stay in business? Over the past decades, the middle class has lost the battle with the likes of Art Pope, Charles and David Koch, and Las Vegas casino mogul Sheldon Adelson on dividing America to push their viewer of smaller government through lower taxes. Senate candidate Tom Tillis was recorded back in 2011 explaining how he planned dividing the sick against the poor to push his cuts to unemployment through in 2012. How will Art Pope find the funds to continue corporate welfare when other states have deeper pockets and can offer more cuts to look good for political gain? Raising property taxes. It's the only steady revenue left they can bank on. Orange County announced a property tax increase to cover shortfalls caused by tax cuts passed in the General Assembly last year after handing out $1.4 million to a candy company to create only 60 jobs. Chapel Hill announced it will have to raise taxes to meet the needs of our schools. Now his staff, which will be paid with money from our gas tax, tells us he's given $17 million to a parts company to move their headquarters to Raleigh. Where will the money come from? You guessed it. Higher property taxes, more service taxes, and newer fees generated from our daily activities. Budgets from Raleigh must support the middle class because businesses need to rely more on customer spending than government handouts to stay in business. When businesses have more demand than supply, you guessed it, more jobs. This is Wiley Post.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
For the best burgers and fries in town and where kids eat free on Sundays, head to Buns in Chapel Hill. Right in the heart of downtown, on Columbia Street between Franklin and Rosemary, Bun sells amazing burgers every day for a taste and a price the whole family will love. And remember, on Sundays, you can purchase one adult combo and receive one free kids' meal. So when you're craving burgers, take the family to Bun's. It's burger perfection.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. Some homes are selling much easier than others depending on various factors such as condition, location, and price range. Contact us today if you're curious to know how easily your home might sell. 919-933-8500 or TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
7:51 at WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. We'll start with traffic, and it's brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic has certainly picked up out there as everyone's trying to get off to work. Maybe some people trying to get home after the late shift, but traffic is moving fairly smoothly, even though it's a bit heavier now. You'll see the usual delays, 15501 northbound and southbound, seeing those usual slowdowns. Nothing too major out there right now, though, as we're not seeing any accidents being reported. We do see a bit of a slowdown if you're coming from the Raleigh area. Right around Wade Avenue is where it picks up, heading westbound until about Harrison Avenue. So just a mile, maybe 2 miles of slowdown there that we don't necessarily usually see. But otherwise, things moving pretty smoothly. If you see anything major that you feel needs reporting, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Just stick around. You're going to like the clean joke of the day, I think.
Oh, nice. Good.
Traffic brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham, right next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at Dickie's.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather, 54 degrees, sunshine this morning, mostly cloudy later on in the day, 20% chance of showers. High today about 77 or 78, and that's probably it. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of rain with a low in the upper 50s, and then tomorrow, a little warmer, mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s. 7:53 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond and the intellectual part of our show.
My favorite rock jock.
Oh, I don't know. Let me check. Let me call him and see. How's it going there, buddy?
Oh, you are just too modest as usual. I just thought I'd check, confirm your rock and roll roots, right?
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, the roots roots are doing fine. They're gray like the rest of it.
All right. You don't want to matter. Here is the word of the day. The word of the day is tremulous. In fact, Ron, you're acting downright tremulous.
I am.
Tremulous. T as in Tom. Tremulous. Tremulous is an adjective.
Yeah, and how am I
acting? Ron Stutz used to behave when he sat at the feet of Howard Stern and Don Imus.
Yeah, right.
He was learning his trade, as a matter of fact. What is tremulous all about?
Well,
Ron, my boy?
Apparently I'm acting like it, but I'm interested to hear your description of that.
Oh, you wily character, you. Wily Post and wily character. Wily Coyote, that's what you are.
That's right.
All right, it's all about being sort of timid or timorous, quivering, having tremors, trembling. That's what it means to be or to exhibit the quality of tremulousness.
Nobody's ever said that about me, by the way, so congratulations, you're the first.
Tremulousness. Sounds like an HBO series, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right. There it is, bud. Have a good one. I hope you enjoy the day.
All right, buddy. Hey, listen, thanks as always. Wayne Pond's word of the day brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. 7:54. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Ron Stutz, along with Dave Tauber, Pharmacy Dave. Everybody knows you as Pharmacy Dave. How are you?
I'm fine, Ron. How are you doing today?
Good to see you.
Thank you.
I don't see you very much now that you're kind of retired. Nice of you to stop in.
You have to come down the golf course every once in a while. I saw Freddie Kiger last couple of weeks ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even want to talk about Freddie's golf game.
You got a clean joke for us today?
I do.
All right. Well, hey, lay it on me, man. I'm ready. I know if it's come from you, it's got to be good. I don't know if it'll be clean.
Well, it's almost clean. Yeah. No, it's clean.
Have you got a list of things there?
I have a long list of things.
All right. Well, let's do some of those.
All right.
Jump right into it.
When a man steals your wife, there is no better revenge than to let him keep her.
I got a feeling that you and I will get in trouble for that, but I like it.
Woman inspires us to great things and prevents us from achieving them.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dave saying these things, not me, okay?
And I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're already in trouble, so you may as well go and give us another one.
All right. I had some words with my wife, and she had some paragraphs with me.
Oh, gosh, I know what that's like. You too, I'm sure. You got one more for us?
This is not for me. I'm still happily married.
Mm-hmm.
I've had bad luck with both my wives. The first one left me, and the second one didn't.
Where'd you get these jokes? Those are good.
I have a friend who I have no idea where he gets them from, but we have lists.
Oh, fantastic, man. I love him. Pharmacy Dave, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Tauber. Good to see you, buddy.
Same here, Ron.
All right. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Laura Malinchuk is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. And Laura, you volunteer in so many different areas.
Oh, my goodness. It's the wonderful people in the community, the opportunities that I've been given through some folks that I know that are just amazing leaders in the community. So I'm just very humbled to be honored.
You've submitted a tireless effort in making sure that Tiger Chill works at Chapel Hill High School. You're also a member of the PTSA at Chapel Hill High, Porch, Skajaja, Color of the Hill, and Scouts. You'd commit so much time to so many different organizations.
I just really enjoy working with the people that I work with in all of those organizations, and I love seeing the people that we serve benefit from the things that we organize, so it's really not a big deal.
Not to you, maybe. Let me ask you about a couple of other things you do. Porch, what's your involvement in that, and why is that so important?
Well, I sit on the board of Porch. I became involved in it right after we moved here about 3.5 years ago. I helped the three wonderful women that started Porch. Mainly, I helped them on the Porch Sort Days, which is the one Monday a month. It's when we're sorting food over at St. Thomas More. I kind of help with the distribution of the food that comes in out to the pantries, making sure that there are cars that can ferry those groceries to those pantries. And then I also help with the Food for Families program, which provides fresh fruits and vegetables and milk and eggs to families that have been designated as folks that are falling short and feeding their families every month by the school social workers that we deliver to the elementary schools and some of our refugee families in the area.
I know that you volunteer quite a bit for your son's scout troop.
Well, I sit on the parent committee for the scout troop, Troop 845 in Carrboro, and they really are an amazing scout troop. They plan things that I never imagined kids 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds could do. I just try to help them in any way that I can so that these trips are successful and the kids enjoy them. I'm kind of the homeroom mom for the scouts going on these trips.
Laura, I just want you to know that you were nominated by another great community volunteer, Sandra Kamada.
She's amazing. She's wonderful. She is just an energizer bunny. She goes and goes and goes and has all these wonderful ideas and so much energy and enthusiasm.
Laura, thank you very much for everything you do in our community, and you are today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I'm just a tiny bit of all the teams that I'm involved in, and I really appreciate the recognition.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, 55 degrees. We'll have a lot of clouds this afternoon. Still, 20% chance for showers, not so bad. High today in the upper 70s. Starting out a little bit chilly this morning, but a nice day. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
The government's Ebola response.
We don't have a lot of margin for error.
death raises concerns about enterovirus.
Get a call saying he's having trouble breathing. We need to go to the ER like now.
Hands-free, but not trouble-free.
I'm not sure what you said.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Obama says the government's considering new options to take on Ebola, and that could have an impact on travelers. White House correspondent Peter Mayer joins us now with more.
The administration, Steve, is discussing stepped-up passenger health screening at departure airports and here in the U.S. The president calls it a top national security priority. He promises to pressure other world leaders to do more.
Countries that think that they can sit on the sidelines and just let the United States do it, that will result in a less effective response, a less speedy response. And that means that people die.
Mr. Obama has ruled out a blanket ban on travel from the Ebola hot zones to the U.S. And Steve, he keeps emphasizing the chances of an epidemic here are, quote, extremely low.
Well, now to Dallas, where an experimental drug is being used now to treat the Liberian man with Ebola. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is covering.
Health officials in Texas are hoping the experimental drug brincidofovir will help Thomas Eric Duncan recover. He remains in isolation at Texas Health Presbyterian in critical condition. Some good news, none of the people who are being monitored because they had contact with Duncan has shown any signs of illness.
Just mild symptoms so far for Ashuka Mukpo, the American Ebola patient now being treated in Omaha. His father says he might have gotten it while cleaning the vehicle of someone who died in Liberia.
He does remember one instance where he was helping spray wash a vehicle with chlorine and he thinks he might have been splashed, but honestly, he's not exactly certain.
In Spain, a nurse who cared for an Ebola patient who died has the virus, the first known transmission outside West Africa. Her husband is among a handful of others now quarantined. Federal health officials are trying to ease the fears of parents who are concerned about the respiratory virus that sickened hundreds of children around the country. Tabitha Vassie's son is sick, and he goes to the same New Jersey school where a four-year-old boy with the virus died.
Right now, he's complaining that he was still wheezing, shortness of breath, but it's getting better, but we have a long way to go.
She's waiting on test results from the CDC. A new report raises